Have you been worried about whether your liver is doing okay? It's a reasonable concern to have because liver problems are actually fairly common in later life. But the warning signs are signs that some people may not recognize as liver signs at all. So in this episode, I'll tell you 7 signs of a struggling liver to watch out for. Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Leslie Kernison, board-certified geriatrician and founder of the website betterhealthwhileaging.net. And this is the Better Health While Aging video podcast, where we discuss common health problems that affect people over the age of 60 and the best ways to manage these problems. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about 7 warning signs of a struggling liver. Now, liver problems in later life are quite common, but what makes them tricky is that they're often, one might say, quiet, meaning that a struggling liver usually doesn't cause symptoms that the person notices unless it's quite late in the game. However, there are ways to detect liver problems earlier. So I want to talk about those in this episode. And it's also important to know the key symptoms that do emerge when something is really going on with the liver. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about what is the liver and what does it do in the body. I'm going to talk a bit about why liver trouble tends to stay hidden for so long. And then I'm going to go into 7 warning signs of a struggling liver. I'm also going to talk about common causes of liver problems in older adults, how to protect your liver as you age, and what to do if you're concerned and what to ask your health providers. So I'm going to get started with that. But before I do, I have a very quick request, which is if you're here and you find this topic interesting, or you've been finding the video podcast interesting, if you haven't subscribed yet, could you please go ahead and subscribe? It does help me out quite a lot when you do that because it helps other people find the channel when you subscribe and it helps support the work I'm doing. Moving on, what does the liver do in the body? So the liver is actually your largest internal organ. It resides up in the right upper part of the abdomen under the diaphragm. And it is constantly filtering blood. It has an extensive blood supply, and it needs all that blood supply because it has multiple functions in the body and metabolize and remove toxins. So it helps the body remove waste products along with the kidneys. The liver also produces many essential proteins, including albumin, which is one of the main proteins found in the blood, and blood clotting factors that allow us to stop bleeding when we're cut or when we're injured. The liver also produces certain hormones and also is a key player in metabolizing and producing cholesterol in the body and in the blood. Another important role of the liver is to maintain your blood sugar level stable by storing a sort of like a faster releasing form of blood sugar for storage, which is called glycogen. So when you have higher levels of blood sugar in the blood, your liver uses that to make glycogen and stores it away. And then if soon afterwards your blood sugar gets low, it can release that. Now the body also has other places to store energy, but those take a little longer. So the liver is there really for that faster acting regulation of blood glucose. The liver also produces something called bile. And so if you look at a diagram of the liver, it creates these ducts. The liver creates the bile, and then through the ducts, the bile can be drained into the small intestine. You also have a gallbladder that can store bile as well. And bile is important because your body needs it in the intestines to help digest fats and to otherwise assist with digestion. Bile is also a way to excrete certain substances from the body. Another function of the liver is that it stores certain vitamins and minerals. For instance, the liver is one of the primary places that the body stores extra iron, if you happen to have extra iron. One also stores copper in the liver and vitamin B12 and other vitamins and minerals as well. The liver also plays a very important role in metabolizing many prescription medications, also over-the-counter medications. The liver is also the primary organ that metabolizes alcohol as well. So there are other functions that I'm not going to go into, but basically this is an essential and very hardworking organ in the body. We cannot live without it, and we need it to be functioning every day. So given that, why is it so easy to miss a struggling liver? So it turns out that the liver actually most of the time has what we call extra capacity, right? So it's not using everything it has to do its job. So that means that even if it's injured or not doing well, it normally still can get done the most important things it needs to in terms of detoxifying the body, removing waste, and taking care of those other functions I mentioned. The liver also doesn't have any pain nerves of its own. So if it's not doing well, we don't feel pain there. So the liver does have this ability to compensate while it's damaged or while damage might be accumulating. Another thing about the liver is that the damage initially is reversible, and that's because the liver is an organ that actually has exceptional capabilities to heal itself and restore itself. So if it gets badly injured, and there are certain things that can happen to us that cause what's called sort of an acute injury. So for instance, if blood flow gets cut off to the liver, or if you have an acute viral hepatitis, or certain forms of drug overdose, your liver can be badly injured. But with time, fairly quickly, it can actually restore itself. However, if you have chronic ongoing damage to the liver through an ongoing stressor or certain forms of diseases, that does cause scarring. And over time, that scarring becomes irreversible. And so after many years of this, the liver can develop a condition that is called cirrhosis. And so you may have heard of this. Sometimes if people have had alcoholism for a long time, they can have cirrhosis, or hepatitis C for a long time, they have cirrhosis. And there are a variety of chronic liver conditions that over time can cause cirrhosis. So what this means is that when the liver is not doing well, even if you have a chronic liver disease, most of the time people will not experience symptoms until things have gone bad enough that the liver has run out of extra capacity. And then we see people experience something we call decompensation. And this causes some, you know, more physically obvious signs. I'm going to go over many of them in a moment, such as fluid in the belly, bleeding, confusion, and turning yellow, which we also call jaundice. But these visible signs are usually signs of either a chronic condition that has gone on a really long time or a really severe acute condition. So noticing early signs on blood work is really important when it comes to protecting the liver and caring for the liver. So let me now take you through 7 warning signs of a struggling liver. I'm going to start with 3 that you can actually observe that are visibly obvious, and then I'll go on to 4 that show up on blood work that are important to know about. So number 1 sign to know about is yellowing of the eyes or skin, also known as jaundice. So this is caused by a buildup of bilirubin in the bloodstream. So normally the liver actually helps metabolize bilirubin into a form that then gets excreted into the bile ducts and drains out. So if there is a problem with the liver and it's not able to do that metabolism, or if the bile ducts are blocked, that will cause jaundice. Jaundice can sometimes reflect chronic long-time damage to the liver, but other times it can be caused by a very acute injury to the liver. So especially if jaundice is coming on more slowly for some reason, it can be a little subtle and hard to notice at first. Usually the first spots where it becomes apparent are the whites of the eyes. So if you look at the whites or pull down people's eyelids and look inside the eyelids as well, you might see a little yellowing there. And eventually it starts to affect the skin. So initially a very faint yellow cast, but if people get really high bilirubin levels, they can turn actually like very, very yellow. High bilirubin levels can also cause dark urine and pale stools. Sometimes it shows up actually before it's really evident in the eyes or skin. If you ever notice jaundice in yourself or someone else, especially if it's new, you want to make sure to call a health provider right away, because it could be the sign of something really significant going on with your liver. Okay, next on the list is new or worsening confusion. Why does this happen? This happens because a struggling liver eventually starts to have difficulty clearing toxins and waste products from the blood. So those start to reach the brain, and that causes a form of confusion that is called hepatic encephalopathy. So in medical terms, hepatic refers to the liver, and encephalopathy means something kind of like affecting and confusing the brain that is an acute condition. So can be abbreviated HE. This can come on gradually in older adults. So the challenge there is to not mistake it for dementia or something else that's causing cognitive impairment. Hepatic encephalopathy is something that generally we're only going to see in people who have cirrhosis. However, some older adults actually have undiagnosed cirrhosis. There are some older adults who maybe have been drinking for a long time and their providers weren't aware of it, or maybe had something like hepatitis C or another chronic liver condition that progressed to cirrhosis. And in fact, a study of U.S. veterans carrying a dementia diagnosis found that about 10% of them had undiagnosed cirrhosis. So it's important to detect hepatic encephalopathy when it happens, to realize that this confusion is due to liver problems, because this is a form of mental confusion that can be treated, unlike many other forms of cognitive impairment in later life. Often a sign that goes with it is that if people hold their hands out like this, their hands will actually flap a little bit. That's a sign called asterixis. So this is a good thing to know about. And in general, if ever there is new or worsening memory problems or thinking problems, we never want to attribute that to normal aging. It always deserves medical evaluation because it might be a reversible condition. And either way, it's something that we want to know about. Okay, let's move on to sign number three. Sign number three is swelling in the legs or belly. And this swelling can also be referred to as edema. So why does liver disease cause swelling? Well, it causes swelling because the liver makes albumin, the protein in the bloodstream. And that protein actually helps hold fluid within the bloodstream. When that protein level goes down, fluid can more easily leak out of the bloodstream. And it tends to leak into especially the belly and also the legs or any part of the body that is kind of like lower down. When the liver is not doing well, pressure builds up in the veins that go into the liver, and that also helps push fluid out into the belly as well. So this is definitely a sign that we see when people have significant problems with their liver. However, it's important to know that there are several other pretty common medical conditions that also cause swelling of the body. Swelling, especially in the legs, can be caused by heart failure, can be caused by kidney problems. If people are hospitalized and have a really bad infection, it can be caused by sepsis. More benignly, often in the lower legs, it's caused by something called venous insufficiency, where the veins in the legs just don't work quite as well as they used to, and more. So if you see just swelling, you don't want to jump to the conclusion there's something really wrong with the liver, but it is important to consider, could the liver be a cause or contributor to this? And especially when we see fluid, especially in the belly, some people look like they have like a ball in there, that tends to be more likely to be due to the liver. Another sign that we often see, because when the albumin level is going down, often those proteins that help the blood clot are also going down. So we also often see bleeding gums or sometimes easy bruising, but easy bruising is just really common in older adults as well. But the bleeding gums may also accompany this sign. So those are three signs that you can see. They generally become obvious when the liver is significantly affected by either an acute issue or if someone has had chronic liver disease for years and it's progressing to a pretty advanced stage. Let me now talk about the early signs to look out for, the early signs that show up on blood work. And the good news about these early signs is that they are part of the comprehensive metabolic panel, which is often ordered in primary care. So you may not need to make a special request to get these blood tests checked. They may have already been done for you in recent years. Sign number four is AST and ALT climbing. These blood tests reflect enzymes in liver cells, and they go up when liver cells are under strain, because when the liver cells are under strain, they start to leak these enzymes. The liver cells might even break open and release these enzymes into the bloodstream. So this is important because the liver metabolizes most medications and all alcohol. So for instance, we can often see AST and ALT go up if somebody has just had a few nights of heavy drinking. We'll see a bump in there. If they're taking a medication that is putting the liver under strain, that will also increase these. So for instance, higher doses of acetaminophen, brand name Tylenol, taken many days in a row, that can also cause a rise in these enzymes. Another common cause of an increase in these enzymes is actually contaminants in herbal medicines and supplements. So a lot of people like using herbal medicines and like using supplements, but one of the things to be aware of is that especially here in the United States, the production is not carefully monitored. They actually have much higher standards for the production of herbals, medicines, and supplements in Europe and in other developed countries. So even though there shouldn't be these contaminants, often there are contaminants in there that can be straining or injuring the liver. And what we know is that what we call drug-induced liver injury is actually quite common in older adults. This is because older adults tend to take a lot of medications, and many of them are also taking supplements as well. And so when this happens, we do see an increase in AST and ALT. So you want to be sure to always let your health providers know about all the medications that you're taking, including over-the-counter medications and supplements as well. Don't assume that supplements or herbals are benign for the body, because again, studies have shown that many of them are contaminated with substances that constrain the liver. And then many other acute and chronic conditions can affect the liver and cause an increase in AST and ALT. I mean, like extremely rare. There are only a few exceptional situations where something is wrong with the liver and you wouldn't see an increase increase in AST and ALT. So some acute causes would include acute viral hepatitis, what we call ischemic hepatitis, when the blood flow to the liver has gotten cut off. So for instance, if someone has an accident and bleeds out a lot, that could cause an ischemic injury to the liver. Ingesting toxic mushrooms, right? Some people pick mushrooms for eating, and there are a few of them that are quite poisonous, and the impact is usually on the liver. People can go into liver failure from that and more. And then there are chronic causes, which include fatty liver, alcoholism, hepatitis C, hemochromatosis in some cases, and more. I will talk more about causes of liver problems a little bit. Last thing I want to say about AST and ALT is that the amount of elevation does matter. So normal levels are going to depend on the lab. Different labs have different reference ranges, but generally, you know, about 7 to 40 units per liter is about right. So if a person is a little bit above that, first of all, their liver might be under strain, actually, because for instance, like a normal, healthy, middle-aged person, such as myself, often has levels of these that are below 20. But what you should know is when people are really experiencing chronic liver injury, the elevation is more than just a little bit over the normal cutoff. So many forms of chronic liver injury can result in levels that are 2 to even, you know, up to 5 times normal. And then acute injury, you know, can result in levels that are 10 to 50 times normal. So that's just something to keep in mind when you look at those numbers. Now, before I continue, really brief pause. If you would like to have more practical information about aging health issues that don't fit into the videos, I do have an email newsletter at betterhealthwhileaging.net, which is where I share articles, checklists, and updates that I don't cover here. If you'd like to sign up for that, there is a link below in the video description, and I'll see you there. Okay, let me go back to the signs. So sign number 5 is albumin drifting down. So albumin is synthesized by the liver. And so levels go down when the liver is struggling and isn't compensating. So a lower than normal albumin level can reflect a struggling liver. Now, it's important to know that albumin levels also go down when people are malnourished. So we see this actually in some older adults who are frail and aren't eating enough of what they should be. Their albumin can go down. And there are some other medical conditions that can lower albumin levels as well. Certain forms of kidney disease allow the kidneys to spill albumin into the urine. Normally, the kidneys keep your albumin in your bloodstream, so that would be a potential consideration as well. So basically, if albumin is low or if we're seeing a downward trend, we want to investigate that and make sure it's not related to the liver. Sign number 6 is bilirubin or alkaline phosphatase rising. So these are two more substances that are measured and reported as part of liver function tests, which are on the comprehensive metabolic panel. So why does this relate to the liver struggling? Well, bilirubin drains out through the bile ducts, and alkaline phosphatase also concentrates in bile ducts. If there's an increase in both of these, that often means that there is some kind of blockage somewhere in the bile ducts. And this is important because trapped bile can back into the liver and can injure it. Now, a couple things to keep in mind. One is that both of these drift upwards a bit with age, even in people without liver disease. But also alkaline phosphatase is also released from bone. So if only alkaline phosphatase is elevated and bilirubin is normal, then it may be that actually the issue is not coming from the liver, but actually it's coming from the bones. And so the bones may need to be checked. Sometimes if there's a problem with bone metabolism, or sometimes a tumor has metastasized to the bones, that could be a potential cause. Tumors are pretty rare though. Don't worry about a tumor if your alkaline phosphatase is like slightly up, probably not a tumor. Okay, and sign number 7. Sign number 7 would be a result inside the normal range that has moved. So how your liver function tests compare to prior years is sometimes more important than whether you are still in the normal range. And again, that's because, you know, there's a fair bit there in the normal range. It's a range that reflects lots of, you know, people. And what's really more important is how are you doing compared to what's normal for you, or what you've been historically running as a result for these. Going from the lower middle side of normal to the high side might be significant. So it's good to review the trends and ask about anything that is trending up, or in the case of albumin, maybe trending down, or that seems fairly different compared to the last time the test was done. And in general, liver tests are not going to significantly change with aging. Now, it is known that ALT in particular tends to go down a bit as people get frailer. So it's actually not necessarily a good thing if it goes down a lot. But otherwise, you know, liver tests should generally reflect a normally functioning liver. And so even as the liver declines a little bit with age, you know, it should be compensating and doing its job unless something more significant is going on. So, given that, let me now talk briefly about some common causes of liver problems in older adults. Like, what could be causing these seven signs that might emerge in an older person? So these days, probably the most common underlying cause is what's often referred to as fatty liver disease. It now has a fancy newer medical name, metabolic dysfunction associated steatotic liver disease. That seems to be the most common cause in older adults, especially if they're overweight. And that is because this is tied to metabolic health. So by metabolic health, I mean how one manages one's weight, one's blood sugar, one's blood cholesterols, and one's, you know, metabolism in that way. So this is generally often related to physical activity, weight, how people are eating. So if one does a better job of managing weight, blood sugar, blood pressure, and exercise, that will help protect the liver. Another common cause, unfortunately, is alcohol. So it usually takes years of heavy drinking to cause cirrhosis, but there are some people who have experienced this. If you or someone you know is struggling with alcohol, it's never too late to try to get help, and I would encourage you to talk to your health providers and try to do that. And then it's important to know that even moderate drinking does strain the liver. We see an increase in AST and ALT, even in some people with moderate drinking. And so for a long time, it was thought that maybe light drinking to moderate drinking of alcohol was protective because in places where people lived a long time, it seemed like they were drinking, especially red wine. But actually, the newer research has concluded that alcohol at any level is essentially a toxin. So if you're only drinking a little bit, it's a very low level of toxin. Most people can tolerate it. And it's true that drinking socially can have certain social benefits. It's an enjoyment for many people. But from a medical perspective and the perspective of your liver, so what's safest is to drink as little as possible because the liver does generally become less resilient as people get older. So a level of drinking that your liver maybe was tolerating when you were in your 30s and 40s might be a little rough for your liver once you reach your 60s, 70s, and 80s. Next on the list of common causes of liver problems, medications and supplements. So most of the time, you know, people have to take an intentional or accidental overdose to really put themselves in a severe injured state. However, just chronically taking in certain medications or contaminated supplements does irritate the liver and can cause some irritation, which could turn into chronic damage, especially if you have another risk factor for chronic damage to your liver, such as a fatty liver or another condition. So you want to be careful with supplements, especially herbal ones and anything that is promising liver, joint, or weight benefits. And then over-the-counter acetaminophen, brand name Tylenol. It is a safe painkiller for older adults. I would say it is safer to take every day than something like ibuprofen. And I have a video that's about these over-the-counter painkillers if you want to learn more about it. But that's provided you don't take too much. If you are taking it several times a week or daily to manage, you know, joint pain or something else, you want to check in with your provider and make sure you've discussed what's the right daily limit. And in general, if you have any concerns about your medications or supplements, you can talk to your health provider or your pharmacist and find out if anything you're on is likely to affect the liver. And this is especially important if you haven't had liver function tests or comprehensive metabolic panel checked in the past year or so. Moving on to some other causes for you to be aware of. Hepatitis C is another one. And it's important to know about because first of all, it tends to not cause symptoms really for decades. And it's also important to know about because it's actually like boomers. We find most cases of chronic hepatitis C in baby boomers. The reason for this is because it was actually in the blood supply till we started screening the blood supply for it in 1992. So there are older adults who had an injury, were hospitalized, had a procedure, who may have gotten exposed at that time and may not know it. So for this reason, the CDC does recommend a one-time screening for all adults age 18 and over. And there are some other ways to get hepatitis C as well. It's basically transmitted through exposure to blood. So people who maybe used IV drugs earlier in their life are at risk as well. And we want to detect it because hepatitis C, as of about 15 years, has become curable. So for a long time, it was very, very difficult to treat. But about 15 years ago, some new treatments became available. And so now hepatitis C is curable in most people with a course of oral medication. Some other things to know about, gallstones that block the bile ducts. It's actually quite common for people to have gallstones, an estimated 10 to 15% of the population have them. And most of them stay in the gallbladder and don't cause symptoms. But sometimes They start traveling from the gallbladder into the bile duct. That is often painful for people, but especially if the stone gets stuck and the bile starts to back up, that can actually injure the liver. So just a little something to know about. And then occasionally we do see people who are having liver problems to cancer, and that can be because a tumor can obstruct the drainage of the bile, causing those changes in liver function tests. Sometimes the tumor is in the pancreas because the head of the pancreas lies there near the exit of the bile ducts. Sometimes, fairly rare, in the lining of the bile duct. And occasionally a tumor is in the liver, although those tend to happen mostly in people who already have known cirrhosis. Other times it's a tumor that comes from a cancer elsewhere in the body that has metastasized to the liver, because again, the liver has so much blood flow that anything flowing in the blood is going to pass through the liver. So those are probably the most common reasons we see liver problems in older adults, but there's a long list of less common conditions that can affect the liver as well. The good news is that virtually all these conditions, if they are affecting the liver, will cause a change in liver function tests. So what should you do if you're concerned about your liver? So first of all, if you've noticed any of these signs, I would call. Certainly the first three signs, you want to call and get a medical evaluation. And otherwise, if you're looking at your lab report and you have questions or concerns, you want to talk to your doctor or another health provider. Otherwise, if you're just wondering, is my liver okay? You can ask for that comprehensive metabolic panel, especially if it hasn't been done in recent times, because it always includes those liver function tests that I covered. And especially if there's an abnormality or another cause for concern, often the next step is to get an ultrasound of the right upper abdomen. That is the most common way to initially image the liver. However, this is usually not done unless the liver tests are abnormal or if the person is having a lot of pain in this area and they're wondering if there's a gallstone, they might do it, or if there's another reason for concern. And now, what if you want to protect your liver, which would be an understandable thought to have? My recommendations there are, first of all, drink in moderation or not at all. And then be careful again about supplements and herbs. Let your health provider know that you are taking them and consider having liver function tests checked. And then be careful about acetaminophen, Tylenol, which is available over the counter. Especially if you're taking more than 2,000 milligrams every day or most days, that can be risky for some people. Some people can tolerate a little bit more, 3,000 milligrams a day. But the best thing to do is to talk to your doctor, who will be able to advise you. Are you on other medications that strain the liver? Have you had past abnormalities for your liver? And that's what would be safest. And then you want to make sure that you've been screened for hepatitis C at least once in your life. And then there's maintaining your metabolic health. So again, maintaining your weight, your blood sugar, your exercise patterns, your blood pressure, such that you're not creating irritation in the body and in the organs such as the liver. If you get any of these liver tests done, what are questions you can ask about it? One is, if you see it on your lab report, you know, make sure you understand, why were these tests ordered in the first place? Are we evaluating a symptom? Are we monitoring a known condition? Are we checking a medication effect? Are we following up on something that was off before? What do the results mean? And especially if there's anything outside the normal range, is this likely to be significant or not? How do these compare with prior results? Often in patient portals now, when you look at a lab results, there's a button where you can say, show me the trend. So that can be convenient for seeing sort of how your latest result compares to your previous ones. And then